sermon tonight. This Bible study sounds familiar to you. Maybe 2 months ago or some time ago, I preached this, but I wanted to go back with a Bible study on it. I already had a young convert class laid out at the house, and I picked this out and brought it with me because God laid it on my heart. But I want lesson one last week, lesson two this week, and we'll go on down the list. But tonight will be lesson number two, and what we're going to study tonight is you share the gospel. Okay, last week you're saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now you share the gospel. You say, preacher, how do I share? What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. It's where one beggar can tell another one where to find bread. That's all it is. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be. All you have to do is tell that Jesus Christ saved you. So tonight, while we get into our meeting tonight, in Matthew 28, verse 19, we're going to get there in just a moment. But last week, does anybody remember the memory verse? Now listen to this. I gave you homework last week, and the homework was this, a memory verse. And what is a memory verse? A memory verse is this. A memory verse means to know, to learn, or to keep forever. I asked my instructor in seminary school, why do you keep putting it on the paper every time? He said, if you'd memorize it, I wouldn't put it on there every time. So he knew we wouldn't do what he asked us to do. So does anybody know their memory verse from last week? I have one that I asked to do. You know, anybody? Anybody? Kaylee? Stand up. Come on, stand up. Good job. Good job. Hey, we want them kids to know memory verses. We want them kids. You won't fight the devil if you ain't got it in your heart. You can't go looking for your Bible when he comes attacking. You got to have it in your heart. Anybody else tonight? I got another one. Sister Molly, are you on tonight? Stand up there with the baby in your hands. Let's hear it tonight. Hey, amen. All right. They got by with short ones. So next week, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, there's two girls that said it, two ladies said it tonight. I'm looking at two men next week. Brother Eric Cruz, you on the hot seat next week, son. Yeah, we ain't saying this. I know you, man. Hey, this is Bible study, man. This is where we're going to learn. This is where you're going to get it. I want to challenge you at the end of this that you have 6 or 8 memory verses in your heart down deep inside. Miss Judy is struggling with dementia and things in her life, but there's something she knows, and that's John 3:16. God puts that in our heart, and Satan can't take it. She may not remember me as her pastor, and she may not remember some things, but the Word of God is in her heart, and you can go to her house, and the first thing she'll tell you is she knows John 3:16, and she'll quote it verbatim, word for word. And friends, tonight, that's how important it is to know the Word of God tonight. So let's just keep on here. Look at your lesson two if you got a paper tonight. If you don't, we'll get you one at the end. The lesson two tonight, you share the gospel or the transformation that is in your life. You need to share that gospel. It's going to do you good. It's going to do everybody around you good. The key verse to memorize is this, though. And I want you to get this, and I want you to memorize this. The Bible says in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, the key verse for you to memorize is this: go ye therefore and teach all nations. You say, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. I want you to go, and Jesus wants you to go and teach people the way. He wants you to teach people that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Look what it says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. Amen. So to memorize that tonight, memorize means to know, to learn, and to keep forever. And I wrote this down on your paper. Jesus told his disciples to go, and he would be with them. Tonight, child of God, you stand by the God of this book. You stand by the God of this book. I have said this many, many, many times. You stand by the God of this book, and the God of this book will stand by you. You stand by that book. It doesn't matter who you have to withstand, you stand with this book. It doesn't matter who's in your life that you have to withstand, you stand with the book. And tonight you say, preacher, why should that? Or so why should we share it? Let's look at this tonight on your paper tonight. We should share the good news because, or we should share the gospel, we should share it because God is faithful. Tonight, when you share the gospel, you're not bragging on yourself. You're not bragging on Union Chapel Baptist Church. You're not bragging on the Baptist faith and message. You're bragging on one thing, and that's the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we should share the gospel and share that good news. And why should we share it? It's because God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9, the Bible says, God is faithful. Ain't you thankful for that tonight? He's not faithful because we're faithful. He's faithful because He is faithful. God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We were called into that fellowship. When He knocked on your heart's door and you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to know you come into the fellowship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You dine with the King every day of your life. Woo! Glory! You dine with the King every day of your life. Every moment you get up, every air you breathe, everything that goes on in your life, the King lives inside of you. I don't know about you, but that does me good. And to know tonight that God is faithful, I gave you some verses here that I want you to get tonight. You say, how faithful is He, preacher? He is unwavering. We serve an unwavering God. He never wavers. He never wrings His hands. He don't worry about things of this life. And Hebrews 13:8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. In your life, He is the same God every day of your life. Ain't you thankful for that? Do you know people that are one way at work and another way at church? Or you may know a daddy or a mama, or you may even be the spouse. You cut their head off at home and you chew them up on one side at home, but and you come to church and you put a smile on. God's not that way. He is the same everywhere you see Him, everywhere you go. God is the same. He does not waver, and He loves His children. He's an unwavering God. But look at this. He's an unchanging God. Not only does He not waver, the wind doesn't blow Him. His mind doesn't change. Tonight, He's not only an unwavering God, but He's an unchanging God. In Malachi 3:6, the Bible says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Tonight, we have a faithful Father, and He's unwavering, and He's unchanging, and He is unfailing tonight. He cannot fail you in your life. Why not put all your trust in Him? Folks, listen to me. He can't fail you. Oh, God. You're going to fail Him. You're going to fail Him. Brother Bradley, you're going to fail Him. I'm going to fail Him. As a pastor, I'm going to fail Him. But He ain't never going to fail me. Not one time. He can't. The Bible says He cannot fail us. He cannot lie. There's some things God can't do, and He cannot lie. There's just something He cannot fail. He cannot fail you tonight as a child tonight. He cannot do that. As you are His children tonight, He cannot fail you because He's unwavering, He's unchanging, and He's unfailing. Hebrews 10:23, the Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He said, don't you waver neither. What you believe, don't you waver when you get around certain people. You stand on it. Is it going to be popular? Oh, no. Is it going to be the right move every time? Yes. Is it going to fit with the crowd? Oh, no. But you stand on that book, and the God of that book will stand by you. He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Man, God is so faithful to you, and He is so faithful to me tonight, and He does not waver. That ought to encourage you as a Christian tonight, a new believer, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, to share the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've heard this so many times. I've only been saved 18 years. There's a lot of you been saved a lot longer than I have. I've only been saved 18 years, but I want you to know I'm not where I was 18 years ago. Hello? I want to grow every day in Christ Jesus. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about my Savior. Amen. I want to know more. And I hear this all the time. I hear people say this. The reason they don't share the gospel or they don't talk to somebody about you, I'm afraid they'll turn me down. I'm afraid. You're not giving them you. I'm afraid they won't like that. They might turn me away, or they might turn me down, or you're not sharing you. You're not sharing you. You're not inviting them over for a cup of coffee, and you might have the wrong brand. You're sharing Jesus. She said, "Preacher, what is that? Go ye therefore, go and share Jesus. Share him wherever you go, you share that love of Jesus Christ. And he is faithful to be with you everywhere you go." I promise you this tonight, the most uncomfortable thing you can do is to share Jesus. Satan's going to make sure of that. I can go into a home, I've carried both of my wife and my daughter. My son's not of the age yet to carry him, even though he goes sometimes. He just don't know right yet. But every time I go into a home, I tell them before we go in, I said, "Now listen to me, they're going to be an adversary when we go into that home and we start witnessing and we start ministry." And I said, "I'm going to give you the first thing, let you know when to really start praying." And listen to this now, I'm going to give you a nugget right here. And I said, "When you go into that home and we start talking about Jesus and we start lifting up the name of Jesus and that phone starts ringing, you start praying." That's Satan right there off the bat. I'm not talking about whoever's calling is Satan. I'm talking about that's a distraction, trying to get their mind off the Holy Ghost, trying to get their mind off Jesus, trying to get their mind off of it. Maybe it may be somebody sitting beside you tonight that's got you distracted, trying to get your mind off of it, trying to get you in another place, in another area tonight. You listen to me. When it gets real and it gets right, something will always try to distract. Something will always try to intervene. Something will always try to take over when the Holy Ghost is trying to run through and it's trying to get down to where it needs to get. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that." I'm telling you tonight, every time you go to share the gospel with somebody, there's going to be a distraction, and you got to fight through it. You got to push through it. You can't let the enemy win. You've got to go on through it. You say it ain't comfortable. It'll never be comfortable. There'll never be the right time, because all time is right time when to share Jesus. I've seen it many, many times. And the most downheartedest person is the person that never shares their faith. They never share what God has truly done in their life. And at the end of their life, they beat themselves up. "I wished I'd have done more for Jesus." And all he's called you to do is one thing. You just tell somebody about him. Share him. You're saved? Now share him. You're born again? Now share him. You're saved? Now give it to somebody else. Just give it away. You say, "Preacher, do you believe that tonight?" I believe that so much in my life. I won't go into no names or anything, but there was one night I was at home, and it was about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and Brother Riley Cagle's sitting here right now, and he could testify because I called him. It's about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. My phone rung. It's thunder and lightning, hailing, raining. It's coming crazy. And this guy's on the other end of the phone, and he's wanting to talk about Jesus. And I said, "Man, it's awful late tonight." He said, "Yeah, I figured that's the kind of Christian you are. You wouldn't come this late at night." I said, "Hey, man, I'll tell you what. I'll come to your house." Brandy said, "Don't go. It sounds like he's drunk. It sounds like it's going to be chaos. It sounds like it's going to be a mess. Don't go share Jesus. Don't go tonight. It could not be good." I said, "Brother Riley, I hope he's on call." I called Brother Riley. I said, "Brother Riley, you on?" He said, "I'm not." I said, "Good." I said, "Can you come with me?" He said, "I can't." I said, "Don't wear no uniform, whatever you do." Brother Riley, am I telling the truth or am I lying? You be honest right now. Am I lying or am I telling the truth? He picked up the phone about 12 o'clock. He said, "Where do you want me to meet you at?" I said, "Meet me at Crosby's Old Grocery right there at Pine Springs." I said, "Meet me right there." We got down there. We met. We got to this guy's house about 1 a.m. in the morning. 1 a.m. in the morning to share the gospel. You say, you ain't no way. Proof's in the pudding, son. We go into this man's home, and it is a chaotic mess when we get there. We start sharing the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This man starts flipping out on me and Brother Riley in a bad way. And I told Brother Riley, I said, "All we can do is hold this man down and pray that God will have his will in his life, and me and you get out of here safe." He said, "Preacher, what'd you do?" We got that man wanted to get in an altercation. We got him down on an ottoman right there in his living room. And I'm telling the truth, Brother Riley, I'm telling the truth. We got him down on an ottoman right there in that living room. His wife was standing over there watching everything going on. That man did not have the Holy Ghost on him. He had a demon living inside of him. You listen to me tonight. And we went to that house, and we got down there with him, and we held him over that ottoman, and we got to praying. And when we left there, he was like a limp dish rag. He was laying on that thing, not talking, foaming at the mouth, laying down on the ground, laying across that ottoman about 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30. He said, "Preacher, what did you do?" We prayed that God would help him and move on him. I don't know if he ever got saved. I don't know if he ever got born again, but he heard the gospel. He heard the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You say, "Did you go to bed that night?" Man, when I got home, I wasn't sleepy a bit. Why? Because the Holy Ghost of heaven had intervened. Not every time that you share Jesus, it's going to be convenient. Not every time you share Jesus, it's going to be a cakewalk. Not every time you share Jesus, they're going to want it. But listen to me tonight. When they call you and they want you to share it, you know what you need to do? You just need to share it. If you don't believe me, ask Riley Cagle. I got back home. Brandy said, "How'd it go?" I said, "Didn't go real good, but it went." She said, "I told you not to go." Listen to me tonight. You never know when you're going to have an opportunity to share the gospel. Tonight, the Christian life we live is not just church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. Hello? And not everybody wants to hear the gospel or receive the gospel. And not everywhere we go will be welcome. But what do we go in? We go in the power of Jesus Christ. I see tonight that he's faithful. Man, he is so faithful in what he's called us to do. That's one of many, many stories of the gospel that's been shared. Man, I'm telling you. The Bible says, seek him when you're young. When you're young this age, when life hadn't affected you yet, you ain't went down that road and seen things that you shouldn't have seen. So when you get age on you and you get up in life, you see things you ought not see. It'll scar your mind. It'll scar your memory. And you got to remember tonight that you got a friend in Jesus. Let me move on here. Not only is he faithful, but look at this tonight. Not only is he faithful, but he is a friend. You are to share him because he is your friend tonight. Look what he says here tonight. We should share him because he's a friend. Old Testament hero of faith, Abraham, knew that. He knew that more than anybody. In James 2:23, the Bible says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Genesis 22:5 says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here while the ass and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham knew that he had to go up on the mountain, but he knew he would come again. I ask this question to you tonight. Was Abraham righteous because he went up the mountain? No. That did not make Abraham righteous because he went. Was Abraham righteous because he raised the knife to take his son's life? No. Abraham was righteous for one reason, and that's because he believed God. He said, me and the lad will go yonder, and we will return. He said, Dad, where's he going to get the sacrifice? And you remember what he said in Genesis 22? He said, God will provide himself. When Jesus Christ come and died on the cross, God provided himself to be our sacrifice. Whoa, glory. Abraham was righteous for one reason. He believed God. We share the gospel because we believe in God. Only reason. We share it because we've experienced it and we share it. We should share because God is faithful. We should share because he is a friend. And we should share him because he is our Father. I don't know about you, but I've never been ashamed of my Heavenly Father. He's been so faithful, so good to me, I've never been ashamed of him. Hey, if you got your paper, read this. I want you to get this. A real father never leaves his children. A real father never leaves his children. Well, they don't act the way he should. I'm not talking about how the kids are acting. We ain't talking about the kids. We talking about the father. We ain't talking about how the kids are acting. We talking about a father. I have never been mad at Kaylee Mills. She's 21. I've never been mad at her in my life. Never. I've been upset with her. But I ain't never been mad. So what's the difference, preacher? Me and my wife's been mad at one another. And that thing go on for until I say I'm sorry. Now don't y'all act like a bunch of self-righteous folks in here. Me and my wife, we've been mad at one another. And that can go on just until I say, baby, I'm sorry. It don't matter if it's my fault or her. It don't matter whose fault it is. I got to say I'm sorry. Brother Jim, I'm going to tell you the truth tonight. I'm telling the truth. Sister Vanda, don't whoop him back. I'm telling the truth. All y'all men know I'm telling the truth. And then we happy. We going back out to eat at O'Brien's. You know what I'm saying? We all good. But up to that point, son, it's peanut butter and jelly. You hear me? What we having for supper tonight? Get what you can find. Y'all know them nights. If you ain't had one of them, you ain't been married. You ain't married. If you ain't had one of them, you ain't married. Point blank. So, but I've never been mad at Kaylee. I've been upset with her. Man, I can't believe she would do that. I can't believe that. In my mind, I said, I can't believe she'd do that. She could do something now, and in 10 seconds, she'd come to me and say, Daddy, I said, what is it, babe? What you need? What is it? What you need? I can be upset with her, but I can't be mad at her. Why? Because she is my child. She said, preacher, I try to. There's been times I wanted to hold a grudge. There's been times I don't know what, it's just that father. It's that father. And I realize how my Heavenly Father loves me. And I know how I mess up and he forgives me. And I know how he don't hold a grudge against, man, I hope I'm talking to somebody. I know how he don't hold a grudge against me. So when it comes to my daughter, if my Heavenly Father can love me like that, man, can I not show that love to her? Can I not show that love to my kids? Can I not show that love and that compassion and that sincerity to my kids? A real father doesn't leave. The other day she was at somewhere and she said, man, I tell you what, eating at that place was expensive. Brandy said, where'd she get that money at? I said, I bet she's got your debit card or mine one. I can tell you. Was you mad about it, preacher? Oh, no, I just know the truth. Swap it anyway. She's going to swap her, swap her. She's going to swap it anyway. Why ain't you going to get mad, preacher? Because I love her. I love my wife. I love them. But it's something I can't explain to y'all, that love that you have for your children. And God has that love for you tonight. He's faithful. He's a friend. But above all that, he's my father. He's my father. And he told the disciples, I'm fixing to show you this, in the model prayer, not the Lord's prayer. Listen, it's not the Lord's prayer. Lord's prayer is in John 17. This is the model prayer. The model prayer teaches us how to praise. Start off when we're praying with praise. You praise him before you ever bring your petition before him. You praise him. You want to get his attention? Don't come to him complaining. Come to him praising him. Praise him. Lord, you're everything that I'm not. Majesty, King of Kings, Lord, praise him. He loves when his children praise him. And once you praise him, then you let your petition out. And when you get done, don't forget to praise him for what he's going to do. Let me show you this. Here's what he did. Man, we got to get to moving in a hurry. Here's what he did. Look what he says. A real father never leaves his children. Not the Lord's Prayer, but the model prayer. Matthew 6:9-13 is the Lord's Prayer / model prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. See, there's that praise. Our Father which art in heaven. Not the man upstairs. Not no rock and roll Jesus. Not no Hollywood Jesus. It ain't who it is. You can't put him on that. It ain't the man upstairs. You can't put him like that. Now, don't reverence him like that. You ain't going to get nothing. You ain't getting nothing. So how do I reverence him? You better praise him. Don't bring him down to your level. You leave him where he is, and you just praise him. Here's what he said. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your name is above every name. There is no other name. Hallowed. It's an honored name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Now we have our petition. After we've given him all the praise, we petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Man, I'm hungry. I got to be fed. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, don't lead me into temptation. You know I can't handle it. Please don't let temptation come my way. I can't handle it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Lord, don't lead me into that area. Deliver me out of it before it ever comes to my doorstep. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So in this prayer, I see he cares for his children. Give us this day our daily bread. How does he care for you? He feeds you. I tell you what, bless God, I put the food on my table. You ain't put nothing on your table. You ain't got the bread. You ain't got enough ability to put food on your table. Amen. You ain't going to work in the morning. He pulls that air off you. He jerks your oxygen off. You ain't going to work tomorrow. You're going to Ox Funeral Home. You're going to Norwoods. You're not. Listen, that's the mentality a lot of folks has got. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I need. Feed me what I need, Lord. He feeds them. He cares for his children. Give us this daily bread. He feeds me. Not only does he care for you by feeding you, he corrects you. Look what he says. He not only cares for his children, but he corrects his children. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What does he do? He don't only feed me, but he forgives them. He forgives them. Not only does that, but he calms his children. He calms them. Kaylee and Kyler, I've told this before. I got to hurry. Man, we left Gulf Shores a while back. And I told her, I said, you going to be out riding with Kyler? Your friend? She said, yeah, I got this. I said, all right. We turn and go one way. We get on the phone, and I hear her on the phone. She's snotting and carrying on. He don't know where he's going. We done turned around. We over here. Da, da, da. Brady said, what are you going to do? I said, they're finding a way home. We're going home. Let's go. We get at Montgomery, we call them, where y'all at? We still in Mobile, where y'all at? I said, we in Montgomery. We get to Birmingham, where y'all at? We in Saraland. What are y'all done? We get home about 6 hours. No more stretch of truth. We get home about 6 hours. 9.5 hours later, they pull up. Going down, she slept the whole way. She never cried. She never complained. You know why? Because daddy was driving. Why wouldn't you upset? Because your daddy was driving. Did you worry about gas money when you got in the back seat with daddy? Did you worry about the tires, the brakes, the oil? No, you didn't worry about none of that. Why? Because who had it? Daddy had it. Listen, I'm just telling you the facts. That's her friend. Kyler's her friend. If they stay together longer, he'll be more of a friend. But I'm not going to give it to him easy. But listen, that's what my Heavenly Father does. He knows I love him. I just love it. Aggravate. Our Heavenly Father calms it. He calms it. When you give it to God, it's a calm. The problem's still there, but you're not worried. The pain's still there, but you're not worried. The bills are still coming due, but you're not worried. Everything's piled up, and you're just as calm as a cucumber. Why? Because the Father's going to take care of it. He cares. He calms you. I don't want to see my daughter nervous, upset, in a frenzy. Don't see her that way. I don't want you to see her that way. I don't want you to see her begging. He said he's never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. Brother Harold, you don't want to see your kids begging. Nuh-uh. Why? You're the daddy. You're going to provide. Brother Bradley, you don't want to see your kids out here begging. You don't want to see them begging another man. If they need a need, who they need to go to? You. Listen to me tonight. If you got a need in your life, quit begging the world and get on your knees and beg God. Don't look to the world to be your provider. You're looking in the wrong place. That spot that's gone now, as far as the east is from the west, they wouldn't be one person to handle that. Money wouldn't do a bit of good. It's on your knees before an almighty God saying, calm me, take care of me in Jesus' name. Let me show you this and we're going to move on. Man, it's just good as good. Let me give you this. Not only is he cares, corrects, and calms, but he's concerned about his children. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to write this down. I didn't put this on your paper, but I want you to write this down. And we're going to dismiss. We should share him because he's faithful, he's a friend, and he's a father. He cares, he corrects, he calms, and he's concerned. And if you are saved tonight, you are complete in Christ Jesus. Complete. And write down Colossians 2:10. Colossians 2:10. Colossians 2:10. And here's what it said. You are complete tonight. I said, preacher, you just don't know. No. You're complete in Christ Jesus. You don't know what I struggle with. You don't know what I struggle with, but I'm complete in Jesus. Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You're complete. You need nothing else. You don't have to have nothing else. All you need is in Christ Jesus. You're saved. Just share it. You are complete tonight. You are complete tonight. I can't remember the show, and I think it's Jerry Maguire. I don't even know where this is coming from. That's back in the 90s. And that little old girl tells him, said, you complete me. You remember watching that movie? You complete me. I thought, I just, come on, it's crazy. Jesus completes me. He was that what was missing in my life. I wanted so much. Man, I turned to the things of the world trying to get. I wanted to be in this group and that group and this friend and that friend and could never fit in until I met Jesus and he completes me. I don't have to have a crowd to have fun. I don't have to be in a room this size to have fun. I don't have to. I don't have to be around you to have a good time. Even though I like being around you because I have a good time when I'm around you. but I'm complete in Jesus. You say, well, I don't like what he's completed in you. He's my Father. He created this. I look at some of you. And come on, y'all. We at church. Think about this. He created you. You say, well, I don't like me. He loves you. I wished I had this and this and this. No. He said, you can handle what you got right here. You say, I just wished I was so much more. You're complete in Jesus. You're everything you need. Young lady, what's your name? Cadence? Cadence, you don't have to have no young boy tell you you're pretty. You don't have to have that. God done knows you are. Remember that. You don't have to have some young boy tell you you're pretty or you smart. God done knows. He created you who you are, that you could be different and you could share his gospel. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. I thank you for this and that. Lord, I thank you for the mercy of Jesus Christ. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for how faithful you are. I thank you that you're my friend. Most, Lord, you're my Father. You are my heavenly Father. And you know the needs that I have tonight. You know the needs everybody has tonight. And you're going to meet them needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. And I pray tonight everybody affirms that with an amen. He's going to meet your need tonight in Christ Jesus. Amen. And all of God's people say, amen. Have a good night. Love on somebody.